Hi, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 16th chapter, of Mark, with 20 verses, translation and commentary, and then also we have a message here on consecration and prayer. And we have two or three letters here to read. And there'll be some commentary on the different world events that are happening on this ninth or tenth day of October. What is it, the tenth or the ninth?
The tenth.
The tenth day of October, 2005. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this message. Father, only what You want in this message tonight. Only, Lord, what You want the people, the folks out in Radio Land to hear. Only what You want the church to hear, Lord. We ask that I see that You're waking up the world. They call it natural disasters. They didn't read the Bible to see that it's not natural disasters, it's supernatural disasters, which is quite natural in the supernatural realm, because You've always sent down plagues, and they just don't believe it, that You, the Almighty God, would do such a thing. When the Vatican keeps telling them, don't believe the Bible, because the Bible says that You drowned the whole world and that You poured out Your wrath on Sodom. You burned it to a crisp with sulfur and fire and brimstone that came down from heaven, that You sent down from heaven, and that You destroyed a bunch of giants and ran them out of the land with a bunch of bees. And now I just heard on the news where they say that this bird flu could cause one-third of the world's population to be killed. And You state in Your word that one-third of the world population will be killed with one of Your plagues. So You use bees, You use a disease, hornets is what it was in the Bible, and You can use birds, You can use nature. Now, You're the one that created nature. All nature is under Your supervision, under Your control. And You can do that, and some people just say, well, no, God never would never do this sort of thing, when in fact in the Word of God You've done it many times. You've even opened the earth and swallowed a bunch of demonic people. For the first time in history, You swallowed a bunch of devils into hell alive, and then You closed the earth in on them after it was opened. This was during the time of Joshua. People can read about that in the book of Joshua. Lord, and as I told the folks in Radio Land just a few weeks ago after the tsunami, that was just a Sunday school picnic in comparison to what You promise You're going to be doing to the people of this earth, because that they belong to false religions and won't repent, they won't come out of them, including the Catholics, the Muslims, the Hindus, and all the other groups of false religions. And they're just wondering, why is all this happening? This has never happened before. I hear President Bush saying this is the worst, this is the very worst that has ever happened in these different countries. And then we hear that was the worst that's ever happened in the United States over in New Orleans. And it's the worst over in Mexico, the worst everywhere. And these are, again, nothing in comparison to what You're going to do. One-third of the earth population, they are predicting, will be killed if this bird flu mutates. And they believe that it very possibly could, and they're instructing the different scientists and chemists to start putting together vaccines will stop you from doing what you say you're going to do to people. Just like they're putting together committees that are going to stop the earthquakes or figure out how to build a better temple or a mousetrap even, I suppose, because you can send mice and rodents and send in every kind of filthy disease on the face of this earth to filthy people whose souls are filthy, whose souls refuse to believe you, that it's you that's doing these things, not Mother Nature. You're no natural thing. It's just natural for you to do these supernatural things. And I pray, Lord, and I know that you are doing this to warn people that they better repent, because these are the signs that you mentioned would happen just before you come back to earth. You're coming back to earth, Lord Jesus. And you're coming back very soon. And in love, you're chastening the people of the world in hopes that they will give their lives unto you so that they can be spared from these disasters. The president says that we're the friends of these Pakistan, all these different countries, and so we're doing everything that we can. No, Mr. President, you're not doing everything that you can. You could be letting people hear my messages, but the government is very busy attempting to stop my messages from the Lord, and are very busy taking Bibles out of school and persecuting those of us that are bringing the messages to people. Now, the message, if you really wanted to help people, you tell them that if they repent and become Christians and they start doing what Christ said, that the disasters would stop. But of course, the Bible says that they won't, that the whole world is deceived, and they're going to wax worse and worse. And if I know that I'm one of the witnesses, I'm certainly a witness of the Lord, and I'm sure that once I give up the spirit and be with the Lord, that they're going to send presents one to another and rejoice that my voice can no longer be heard, because it torments them, the things that you write in your Bible and that I preach. And they're going to be so relieved when I and anyone like myself is gone. They will be so happy that they can just worship a piece of rock, like or a piece of wood, like the idol worshippers did in the Bible that you destroyed. Lord, we pray that I'm praying that you will open up the spirit, the spiritual man in everybody. And I realize that the spirits in the unsaved are dead, but I pray that you open their spirits enough to where they can hear, that they will be able to hear the truth and then believe it and receive salvation, and that you will edify the church in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so we do have now they said that was just horrible in Indonesia when 3,000 people were killed or thereabouts, and now it's between 20 and 30,000 people are killed, and they said that over 40,000 people were injured that they know about in the first day. But they're still saying that they believe that there will be many thousands of more bodies and many more injured that they will find. They're still digging people out of the rubble. Also in Central America and Mexico and a lot of other places, Hispanic countries, they're trying to get these they've given up, actually, digging people out of the mudslides. The mudslides have covered up complete cities, complete towns, where there was 800 to 1,000, 1,500 people living there. The mud just covered them up. And then they went to rescue them, and then the mud covered them up again. So they just gave up. That's just their burial ground now. And what are you going to do when the Lord does kill one-third of the earth population? And what are people going to do when the armies of the world go to Israel and they start at, they try to put the lights of the Hebrew people out, and God is going to start raining down the same sort of material that he rained down on Sodom, and he's going to kill so many people that it's going to take months and months and months to bury their bones. And they have to hire people from other nations to kill you people that are anti-Semitic, anti-God's chosen people. Now there's some definitely there's some people that are not of the Lord that are Jewish, and people that are not of the Lord that are other nationalities. So many, every nationality's got a lot of people that are not of the Lord. As a matter of fact, are devils. But we're not supposed to kill them. You can see that God's doing that. Amen?
Amen.
That's the work for God. He kills devils. He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, for those that reject his Son, who came and died for them." So we're to preach to these satanic peoples in hopes and pray that they'll be saved. Amen?
Amen?
And we're praying for President Bush and the whole administration, even though, you know, they're just doing a lot of evil things. And it's easy for them to say, look at the people of the United States. He says, I'm their, and they says, no, we're their friends, and we're going to do everything that we can to help them. As much as possible. Well, they're going to send 6 helicopters over there. That'll really help those people that are buried in that mudslide, right? Wrong. And that'll help all those 20, 30, 40,000 people that are killed. No, that won't help them, Mr. Bush, again. The only thing that's going to help people is if they get a hold of the Lord and get saved and begin doing what he says, then God will take the wrath off of the earth. But, oh God, it's so horrible because they're not going to do it. Because when you read the book of Revelation, you see that the Lord is going to cause tidal waves to just cover a lot of this earth and people. It'll happen so fast because a meteorite that is so big is going to fall out of heaven into the ocean. And when it does, it's going to cause tidal waves 1,500 to 3,000 feet tall. And it's going to rush over probably one-third of the United States or more and just drown every millions and millions of people. So if it hits on the East Coast, there'll be like right there one, probably more than two-thirds of the United States will be killed. And the bird flu alone will kill one-third of the Earth's population, they say. I just heard one of the newscasts say that. Could very easily do that. Well, they said 30%. One third would be 33 1/3. And we know that these scientists and chemists can't be too accurate. I believe the word of the Lord that he says, when he says 1/3, that it will be 1/3, that it'll be 33 1/3. So these people are predicting that everything is going to be fine. And I predicted that there's going to be a lot of plagues on the earth. Now, you got to choose who you're going to believe, these scientists and chemists or me, these scientists and chemists or God Almighty. And it just makes me cringe when President Bush says, oh, we're just praying to the Almighty God. Oh, my God, this man is a Catholic. And God doesn't hear the prayers of unsaved people who say they're saved. Do you know what God says? He says, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Christians and are not, but do lie. You know, a Christian is a real Jew. And the scripture says that I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan that say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And I'll make them to kneel down at your feet and make them worship, and make them to know that I have loved thee, you Christians, you real Jews. And then he repeats it again in the book of Revelations. All right? So, the people that say they're Christians, and are not, that say they're Christians, they are the church of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. All right? Mm-hmm. So God calls them a church, but the people say they're cult. They call the real Christians cult, and they call themselves church. Well, those that they're saying are cult are the real Christians. What an upset in heaven is going to be for you people that believe them. But God calls them that are name-calling the Christians and saying that they're Christians. He says, God says, the infallible Word of God says that they're the church of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Well, now that I've got that out of my spirit, out of my mouth, because the Lord wanted me is saying that to you, out of my mouth, what letters do we have here? We got how many letters here?
Three letters.
Three. Okay, and the first one is from where?
From Tema, Ghana, Africa.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks for the good work you are doing. I am Eric. I want to thank you for the literature and the Bibles you sent to me for distribution. I have finished distributing them, and they are really winning more souls for Christ. I have taken some pictures at some of the places I distributed the Bibles and the books so that I can post them to you for you to know the wondrous work God is doing with the literature you sent me.
I pray that any of you brothers and sisters that are out in the world, all over the world, that have pictures, I really pray that you'll send the transparencies or the slides to us, because if you do, we'll blow those pictures up and put a picture of your church, the Alamo, Tony Alamo Christian Church, on our walls in all of our churches, and we'll also put you in our newsletters. When you just send us the pictures, we can't get a good reproduction because it takes, there's so many resolutions, and sometimes the people don't print real good, take very good pictures. But if you take a good picture and you have a slide of it, please send it to us, and we'll send the slides back if you want them back. But we'll print it, these slides, your pictures, the pictures of your church and yourselves, in millions and millions of pieces of literature, so that people can see the fine work that you're doing there and be encouraged to do work for the Lord themselves, so that we can publish their pictures and their testimonies. Because we love you, brothers and sisters, everywhere in the world, the real Church of God, the Bride of Christ, we love you, and we want you to be heard and seen, because the Lord wants us to promote godly people, not devils. And we want the promotion to look good. We want it to be slides, so we can get the real schmaltzy pictures, okay? Okay, then what?
I distributed the Bibles and literature to the churches and a lot of people who don't know Christ. But please, before I post the pictures to you, there are more people who still need Bibles for studies to know more about God. I will be happy if you can send me about 100 copies of Holy Bibles to distribute to them for them to be strong in God. Hoping to receive a reply from you very soon. God bless you. Eric from Tema, Ghana, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's get those Bibles to them. That will cost us approximately $11 to $12 per Bible. And some of you people that want to help the people in Indonesia, you're sending them food and water, and that's good, and clothing and other building supplies and stuff like that. But what about these people, if they would repent, if they'd receive the gospel and these tapes and our literature and Bibles, God would do the same way that he did with the city of Nineveh. When they all got down and accepted what the Lord was saying, God did not destroy that city. Now, this is what God says. He will, if he sees people change to serve the Lord, he will withdraw his wrath. But that's the only way you're going to get around this. It's going to keep happening more and more. What you've seen right now is nothing in compared. And a lot of people thought, well, if it happens here and there, it's not going to affect us. But look how it is affecting everybody. The gas prices are up. the cost of fuel to heat and air condition your homes has gone up. The price of lumber has gone up. Piece of plywood that used to go for $4 or $5, $6, and it went up to $13. Now it's up to over $50 a sheet. So it's affecting everybody. Even people that have hotels and apartment houses and rentals, they have to, we're paying more money, and everybody's paying more money to heat the places and everything, so we have to rent. All apartment owners and house owners that rent have to increase 10% in order to make it profitable or to be able to even make the payments for the amount of money that it costs to make the payments for the mortgage every month. So it's affecting every one of you people out there. When will you believe our report? When will you receive salvation? When will you, you know, God's trying to wake you up, and he's still saying it's Mother Nature. Don't you know that this is going to infuriate God so much that he's going to take the breath out of you and bring you up before him and say, do I look like Mother Nature? If I was God, I would have done that already to a bunch of you half-wits. That how can you say, and now they're taking polls, do you really think that what Tony is saying true? Is this really the wrath of God, or do you believe it, or don't you? Well, these news media moguls are saying that to a bunch of people that have never read the Bible. If they read the Bible, they'd see for sure that it's God doing it, because this is, he just keeps threatening that, and he's done it in the past, and he promises to burn this entire planet up and all the people that refuse to accept his son as their personal savior and to do his will, that just insist on doing their own stupid, stubborn will. Well, don't cry. I mean, your own children, you're screaming and crying. He says he'll wipe your children out too, because you'll raise them to be just like you. Okay, so there's nobody that's going to get a pass with this. People are starving all over the place. And, at harvest time, this is harvest time, he's flooding the areas and they can't pick their corn and peas and their string beans and stuff. Oh, isn't that sad? Oh, but we've got a rush of food over to these people. And all. No, see, it'd be a lot better if you got to do that, because God tells us to do it. But you also got to rush the gospel to them. Now, we've been distributing my literature entitled Earthquake, and it mentions all these things in the literature, and still people refuse. And then we have another piece of literature that I've written, that I got from the Lord, is mass suicide. Because when you reject God and his son Christ Jesus, what you're doing is committing suicide. Because he's not going to put up with it. And then you people are debating whether it's all right to murder babies. Of course, this country and countries all over the world are cursed. And God's going to curse you. Why would you think that God is going to bless America? Some of these devils are saying, take that off the actual buildings and everything. And it's good that they do, because God is not going to bless America. How would he bless a place like here that has murdered hundreds of millions of babies? That's first degree murder. And that are condoning fornication with little kids. And are condoning all the other filth and trash, adultery, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, exalting all these things. God is not going to bless America, so at least some of these judges are not hypocritical. They're saying, take those signs down. We don't want God's blessing on America. You don't, huh? Okay. Okay, New Orleans. All right, Indonesia. All right, all you other Latino countries and everybody else in the world. You're next. Okay, you want to take God away? You're going to try to dethrone God like Satan did? God had Satan thrown down to the earth. And he's going to bury a bunch of you. There's a whole villages that were buried with mudslides. Now go and dig them out. He said they're going to rescue the dead bodies. Hey, listen, after I'm dead, I don't care if you take a backhoe out someplace and dig a hole and throw me in there or put me in a trash can and throw it, just put the lid on tight. Because I might be, you know, after I've been there a day or two, I'm liable to be as offensive to you as I am right now in the air. Okay? They say the stench of the bodies in New Orleans and other places is unbearable. So I really don't care what happens to me. Let them be buried under there. What good is it? They're gone. They're buried. There are hundreds of feet of mud on top of them. Well, we've got to send about $300 billion over there to dig them up. What for? You can't dig them out of hell either when you're there, when they're there. Get right with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what do we have here?
The next letter is from Concepcion, Chile.
Concepcion, okay.
Dear brothers in Christ, receive God's richest blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hoping you continue to prosper, I request that you continue to supply us with your materials so we can continue to sow the Word of God in the hearts of people, which is our, the Lord's, church's job. In unity, we can accomplish much. Therefore, I am requesting that you keep sending us your excellent literature, which we always share with others, as you have requested.
Hey, if you don't believe what I'm saying, why don't you ask these big-time TV evangelists to see if they agree with me? And if they say no, read the Bible and see, so that you can tell that they're not of the Lord. Okay? Some of them might say, well, yes. Then ask him, why don't you preach it like Tony does? Are you afraid that you'll lose some money, donations, donos? Huh? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Bro, quote, bro, unquote, and sis, quote, unquote. I'm ashamed of you weasels. I ask him anyway. Ask Benny. Ask Benny if he believes in what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying is just right from the Bible. But he says, if Tony Alamo's people come on our lot, kick them off. Because, why? Well, because they're telling the truth. Now keep them off of our parking lot so they don't hit our, and, or don't let them give the literature out to the people that are coming here, because we want to keep them blindfolded. I'm one of Satan's servants, and I want them all to go to hell. I don't want them to hear the truth. It's for sure I'm not going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell them flowery things that sounds real good. But I'm not going to tell them that God is sending these plagues down on earth, because it's true, and I want them to believe that God, yes, loves all you people no matter what you do. And what's this guy that says that God just loves you unconditionally out there in Atlanta, Georgia? Charles Stanley. Charles, you are a bald-faced liar. God does not love people unconditionally. There's a condition for everything with God. If you do well, he bless you. If you don't, he'll curse you. Jacob he loved, Esau he hated. Jacob loved the Lord and wanted all the blessings, and loved him so much that he actually did everything he could to trick his brother and his dad and everybody to get him. And God, even though it was people say that was wrong, in God's eyes, he liked it because he was jealous. He wanted the things of the Lord. And so, therefore, he put sheepskin on his arms to make it look like he was Esau, and he had his mother make some savory venison for this blind old Eve. Idiot, and gave it to him. He says, oh, I give you, and then so he gave him all the blessings. And then the other one came in and says, why, Father, have you given all your blessings away to your son? Jacob. Well, God loves Jacob and he hates you, son. If the man was new, why did this man, Isaac, love Esau so much when God hated him? Be careful who you like and love and who you don't like and who you don't love. Jesus put it straight. Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Really, who's my sons and my daughters? Those that serve the Lord. If you're my son or my daughter and you don't serve the Lord, you're not my son or my daughter, okay? I'm in the spiritual realm. If you're carnal, you're not nothing to do with the Lord or me. All right? If you're like, if you're my wife and you happen to be like Job's wife, that old hag that says, why don't you curse God and die? Well, that wouldn't be Job's wife. That wouldn't be my wife either. Because I'm not to be married unequally to unbelievers. I have to have a wife that is a believer. And you do too. Everybody does. If you want to go to heaven, you have to keep every commandment, because if you break one, the Lord says you've broken them all. Because it shows that you don't love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that's the most important commandment, and it shows that you don't love your neighbor as yourself. So what are you going to do, folks? All right, what else do we have here?
Freely ye have received, freely give.
Yes, that's why I don't sell our literature. I don't sell it. But if you people want to be blessed by the Lord, you better send your tithes and offerings into me, because you know I'm doing a work for the Lord, and you keep tithing to people that you know are liars. So what you're really doing is aiding satanic works that call themselves Christians, that are really the synagogue of Satan, the church of the devil. Now send your tithes and offerings in here so we can get millions of Bibles to people all over the world, and so that we can get literature. You hear these letters saying that we're sending it over there, and we're doing it with the money that we earn ourselves. We just don't get any tithes and offerings, because it's the people out there don't want the world to be evangelized. Why? Because they're a part of the corporate body of Satan. Now, this is the Lord talking through me. I would never say something like this because I don't want to be cursed by the Lord. And I don't want to the doors of the kingdom of heaven to be, or the gates to be slammed in my face like he's going to slam them in yours if you don't believe what God says, if you don't repent. Oh, I know that I get on your nerves. Well, turn on Bozo. That's who you're listening to anyway. Okay, go ahead.
All the materials you are sending us have arrived with no problems.
Yeah, if you're not listening to me, you're listening to Bozo, okay? I'm the one that's carrying the truth today, folks. Now, repeat that again. I didn't quite hear that because I had that on my mind.
All the materials you are sending us have arrived with no problems.
See, it gets there. And it's getting there with money that we earned, not you. You're supposed to tie to the work of the Lord, not to the synagogue of Satan or the house of the devil. Now ask these people that you're tithing to if they believe this word that I'm saying. I've heard some people say, when I was on the air, they called up, you know, on these talk shows that I used to be on. They won't interview me anymore because they just can't, they just don't, nobody knows the scriptures well enough to talk with me. But they, some of them called me and said, why are you saying the truth? But it's just the way he says it. He's so arrogant. Well, no matter how I say it, if it's the truth, receive it, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm really not arrogant. I'm just happy that I'm going to heaven. You want to persecute me for that? Or you want to hold back your tithes? If you hold back your tithes from the Lord, you're robbing God of the souls that could have been saved if you would have sent in the finances. And we've really never hustled finances. But, you know, the Lord is pressing me to, because of the book of Malachi that says that you're robbing the Lord if you don't send him in. So for your own good, I'm telling you. Now, if you don't, we're going to keep going. We're not going to close down like all these other people say that they'll do. Oh, please, we're going to go to every town with the literature. If you don't come to church, we're going to take the church to you. We're going to put it on your windshield. We're going to hand it to you in the street. We're going to go to all these different rallies and things and distribute literature. We're at the Rose Parade distributing a million tracts in one night. We are going to get the gospel out. But let's just put it, we could get it out hundreds of times more if we had the money, and millions of times more if we had the finances. But maybe, you know, it's of the Lord, because the Lord knows that they're not going to repent anyway. But we don't take it that way. The Bible says to continue on to the end. Occupy till I come. So we're here occupying. And you're busy sending people that are Muslims and other people finances. And the Lord says to give no place to the devil. Now, of course, we give food and clothing and everything to anybody that asks. Muslims, Catholics, anybody. We don't deny anyone, because the Lord says to even pray for our enemies and to give them food when they're hungry, and drink when they're thirsty. But these Muslims are our enemies, because they say they want to kill Whitey. And, you know, like, I'm considered Caucasian, and I really think that they're my enemy if they say, kill me, okay? This Farrakhan is saying, kill Whitey. I've read his books, and I'm saying, pray for Farrakhan and witness to him, and get the gospel to him and all the other Muslims that he has on this trip, because if people start believing that, you people that are sitting comfortably in your homes, if we don't get them to the Lord, they're going to get you. Okay? God's going to protect me. And if he doesn't, that's fine, because I'll be right in heaven, and I'm not worried about dying. But I see all kinds of people all over the world panicking. When is it going to rain on us? Or when is it going to hail on us? Or when is an earthquake going to hit us? Or when is fire going to come out of heaven and get us? Or when is the plague, the bird flu, cancer, leukemia, AIDS, the thousand and one thousands of different new diseases that are incurable, when is one of them going to get us? Will you be like the giants that God destroys with wasps, a little insect? Or nowadays, maybe the birds. The birds is coming. You better repent. Amen? The birds is a-coming. Okay, then what?
All the literature are a great blessing to all those who receive them with gladness in their hearts. We have confidence that with the Lord we are more than conquerors. Waiting for your reply, may the Lord prosper and keep you in his love, your brother and servant in Christ, Rodolfo from Concepcion, Chile.
You know, and love is the keeping of God's commandments. And no, there isn't anybody that loves you if they're telling you a bunch of lies and that you're going to be taken out of the tribulations in the rapture. You know, those people in the tsunamis and the people over there in that big earthquake, the end of the world for them when they see a big mudslide coming down and covering them up. They think that's the end of the world. How come if they were Christians, why didn't God rapture them out of that? A lot of people feel that they're in tribulations right now, and this is exactly what the Lord described in the 24th chapter of Matthew, that the tribulations would be, and that they're going to intensify all the time. So this isn't something out of my head, even though it is out of my head, because it's the Word of God is in my head. I put on the mind of Christ, which means I put on the Bible in my head. My head is packed with Bible, and that's where I'm coming from. It's right from the Lord. The Word of God is spirit. The words that I speak to you are spirit. and they are your life. So repent and accept the Lord and be safe. Okay, do we have another letter?
One more. From Edo State, Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Olamo, greetings to you and your entire church in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am Pastor Richie of the Soul Winner Bible Church. I write to you on behalf of the entire household of God. Having read some of your publications, which have helped us to transform so many unbelievers and win their souls for Christ Jesus.
So how could you hear these letters and then tighten the purse strings on your meager holdings? Now, we don't expect people that are broke or that are poor to send us anything, because you need the money to support your families. But you guys out there and girls, gals that's got deep pockets, you better loosen up, okay? Because I don't know anybody else that preaches it the way I do. And you better loosen up. Why don't you want to be blessed? Okay, then what?
I would like you to please send us some more publications and the Holy Bible to distribute to some of these people who need your help to enable them to grow in God's Word. We appreciate you so much, and also pray for us that we will continue to reach even more people with the gospel and help those who so desperately need God's healing touch. We look forward to hearing from you soon. God bless you and your entire ministries. In His grace, Pastor Richie from Benin City, Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
See, so these people there, you can see that they're not being cursed. They're not standing, four or five or 6 feet high when the water's 8 foot over their head. They're not crawling on their roofs yet because they really love the Lord. You can tell that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God, and just as He spared the Hebrew children in Egypt when He was wiping it out, will lead, guide, and direct these people that really are of the Lord, and He'll tell them when they get out, before the weatherman does. Amen? Well before the weatherman, because the weatherman doesn't know when an earthquake's going to hit. And the weatherman can't keep the bird flu from you or any of the other multitude of diseases. God didn't say that He's going to have to blow the world up or anything to get rid of the one-third of the earth population or two-thirds of it. He just comes in and gets you with a little disease, a little pneumonia or something, a little flu, and you just die. And then you're before the Lord. And you're not going to come back as a penguin or a pigeon or some other animal or bird or fish. Why? Because the Bible, God said, it's appointed unto man to die once. After this, the judgment, and you get put in either one or two places. One of two places. Either heaven, if you lived your life for the Lord and let the Lord live His life out in you and through you, or hell in the lake of fire. It's so simple. Thank God it is, because if it was complicated, a lot of people would never be saved. Because I hate complicated things. And I'd probably wind up in hell if it was complicated. So if I could receive it, and your genius is out there, you could receive it too. Because you don't even have to be a genius. If you're just a janitor, or a fry cook, or a dishwasher, or anything, the actual wealthy people of the world stumble over the simplicity. The wise people of the earth, the ones that know science and all this stuff, they're the ones that stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. Okay, now we have the book of Mark. The gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the book of Mark in the New Testament, chapter 16, with its 20 verses. Let's go ahead.
The Resurrection, translation verse 1. The next evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene and Salome and Mary, the mother of James, went out and purchased burial spices to put on Jesus' body. Verse 2. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they came to the tomb. Verse 3. On the way, they were discussing who would roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb. Verse 4. But when they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, a very large one, had already been rolled aside. Verse 5. So they entered the tomb, and there on the right sat a young man clothed in a white robe. The women were startled. Verse 6. But the angel said, quote, "Do not be so surprised. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He isn't here!" Exclamation mark. "He has been raised from the dead!" Exclamation mark. "Look, this is where they laid his body." Verse 7. "Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee."
Including Peter, because Jesus said that even though he was one of the Lord's disciples, he wasn't saved yet. He said, "When you are converted." Amen.
Amen.
And so he said, "Give this message also to Peter," which shows the love of the Lord, because he denied the Lord three times. But yet he knew what Peter would do once he was converted, because the Lord knows the end of a matter at the same time that he knows the beginning of it. So there's a lot of people that say, "Yes, Lord," and then they don't do anything. But Peter denied him three times, and then after he knew, he was so fervent and zealous, and when he was being martyred, he stated, "Do me upside down, because I'm not worthy to be martyred in the same manner that Christ, my Lord and Savior, the Almighty God, was martyred." Then what?
"You will see him there just as he told you before he died!" Exclamation mark. Verse 8. The women fled from the tomb trembling and bewildered, saying nothing to anyone because they were too frightened to talk. The short ending to Mark, verse 9. Then they reported all these instructions briefly to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west with the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life, and amen. The long ending to Mark, verse 9. It was early on Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead, and the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. Verse 10. She went and found the disciples who had been grieving and weeping. Verse 11. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Verse 12. Afterward, he appeared to two who were walking from Jerusalem into the country, but they didn't recognize him at first because he had changed his appearance. Verse 13. When they realized who he was, they rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Verse 14. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their unbelief, their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15. And then he told them, quote, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to everyone, everywhere." Verse 16.
So the people say, well, they want to destroy us because we're doing what the Lord said, and we do it because we don't want to go to hell. Otherwise, I wouldn't spit on a lot of the people in the world. I wouldn't take the time of day to even talk to a bunch of stubborn people like that, only because of the fact, because I don't consider myself a very benevolent person, like these people that are sending the food over to Muslims and people like that, because I'm not that benevolent. But I do that because God tells me to do it, or I'll go to hell. And I bring the word, which is more important than the food. The Lord showed that because he preached the gospel to a multitude of people for 3 days without ever feeding them. And then before he let them go, he fed them. And so the word that I'm preaching, that the Lord is preaching through me, is the spiritual food that people need for their souls to be saved. It's spirit, and it is life. It's the eternal life. Okay, so if you don't receive the Word of God, you're not receiving the Spirit of God, and you're not receiving spiritual eternal life. You're rejecting your own eternal life and God's spiritual life. Okay, now a lot of people just sit there with their mouths hanging open and say, "What?" Don't say that, just receive it, okay? Because that's the truth. Then what?
Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. but anyone who refuses to believe me will be condemned. Verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak new languages. Verse 18, they will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous...
But that doesn't mean that you can go in and start handling snakes, because if you do that, you're going to be... you're going to be bitten and die, very possibly, because the Lord calls that tempting the Lord. And there has been Christian people that thought they were being Christians and that they were being wise that tried to do that, and they died. But what it means is, like Paul, when he was throwing, he couldn't see very well, and he was throwing some sticks into the fire, and one of these very poisonous snakes on this island latched onto him, and he shook it off into the fire and didn't die. So the Lord says to bless your food, because it could be poisoned, especially in these last days with all the contaminants that the government is allowing manufacturers of food, packers of food, to put in food and beef and all that, and dairy products. But the Lord says, pray over your food, and you can eat these poisonous things, and it won't hurt you. But if you put poison in food, then you're tempting the Lord, and you will die. But this is like if you're just eating something, and you really are keeping the commandments of the Lord, you're doing what He says, and somebody poisons you, it will not kill you. Okay, but don't try to poison you yourself or poison anybody else. To check to see if they're Christians, because they will die also. This is the stuff that is naturally contaminated by the way that the government allows some people, because they donate a lot of money to their campaigns, allow different food products to be exalted, like dairy products and beef today. It's contaminated. Then what else? According to the Lord, He told me, and now the news media is even saying it. They're telling that dairy products are contaminated. And I see Him killing a lot of chickens now, too, over in different Pakistan, because they've found a bird flu over there, and it's sweeping into chickens. Okay, and then what?
If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and heal them. Verse 19, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, He was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 20, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked with them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs.
He worked with them because He was in them. And that's what He is in us, that are really the church of God. He works in and through us, and that's why we are able to do the same things that these disciples did. I have, by preaching the word, cast devils out of many thousands of people, laid hands on many thousands of people, and they've been healed. We don't make a demonstration of it like Benny Hinn or a lot of other phonies. Because a lot of people say they thought they were healed and then they were swept up in this manufactured type satanic spirit while they were there. And when they went home, they were not well. But when we pray for them over here, the people get healed. And they don't get unhealed at nighttime. Okay? Or in the Morgan. Okay, now we have commentary.
Chapter 16, verse 17. These women were wondering how they could ever roll away the stone from the mouth of the tomb entrance. When they got there, to their amazement, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. The tomb also was empty. The women had only wanted to roll back the stone, but God had accomplished that already, and even more. He had raised Jesus from the dead. When we know already that God can give life to a dead body, He surely can restore a person's life to wholeness. So everyone who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven must put their trust in the Lord. If we do that, then we have great hope and great assurance. With God all things are possible. Only believe. The Lord is a specialist at rolling away burdens too great for our feeble human hands or strength to handle. If we set out to let God live and work in and through us, we will be more than able to continue growing in the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will for sure discover that God has already accomplished our goals and will continue to do so. We are the actual continuation of Christ's incarnation on earth. We are the last part of his body here on earth, doing his will, and as he said, even more. Chapter 16, verse 14 through 18. After we've had a spiritual awakening as a result of all the different steps that we go through, such as coming to the Lord, that's the first one, you may have tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all your different affairs. Each one of us has a valuable story to tell, a great testimony. When you have the fullness of the Lord in you, you don't need to feel shy or awkward about speaking. You may think that what you have to share is too trivial. Well, if it was, then why did God do it for you? Is it actually going to help anyone else? Yes, it will. You may struggle to get beyond the shame of your past experiences, but your testimony story can help others. There are more people that are like the average person than there are people that have been in show business, the motion picture business, the record business, like I have. And so your testimony will mean more to them than mine. We have to give our testimony, otherwise we'll be trapped back where we were. We'll be condemned. We'll be found under the law. Are we willing to allow God to use us to help free others? Jesus left us with this vital task, quote, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of salvation and penalty of the law, not the penalty of sin, but the penalty of the law for sin, to everyone everywhere," Mark 16, verse 15. The Apostle Paul traveled the world over telling everyone of his conversion.
Yeah, when Paul was saying that we're no longer under the law, he was talking to a bunch of saved people. In other words, he was saying the law no longer condemned them. But you have to read the whole Bible. It says if you can sin again, then the law, you're under the condemnation of the law again, and Christ is not going to come back to life and then die for you, because there remains no more forgiveness for you. So, we're no longer under the law, those of us that are saved, that are keeping God's commandments, that are consecrated to him. But if we went back into the world and started sinning, we're lost, or we cannot recoup. So you got to, if the world is too tempting to you, there's some people in my church that say, "Tony, there's too much evil on Hollywood Boulevard. We just can't take it. There's girls that grab onto us and all these, and they flirt with us and everything." And I said, "Well, then stay up at the church and work around the yard." And say, "Oh, thank you so much. Praise the Lord," because they don't want to be tempted. They're just young baby Christians. Once they grow into the powerful spirit of the Lord, to the fullness and stature of Christ, later on they might be strong enough to go to different parts of Los Angeles or different other cities. Okay, now what's the rest here?
Paul ended up in chains, but his spirit was free. He presented his defense and his own testimony of redemption before kings. King Agrippa interrupted him to say, quote, "Do you think you can make me a Christian so quickly?" Unquote. Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Acts chapter 26, verse 28 through 29. With each person's personal journey from the past, the bondage of being condemned by the law, the Lord didn't say he came to deliver us or do away with the law, but he came to fulfill it. Fulfilling the law means he paid the price that the law demanded to be paid in order to give us the freedom that we have, but only in him, and only as we keep ourselves free from sin, Satan, and the world. Freedom is one of the great blessings of the gospel. When people hear our testimonies, even if it seems to us trivial, you were saved from the things that happened to you. It isn't trivial. We people who are of the Lord are offering the people of the world a chance to loosen their chains, to completely be rid of them, and begin their own testimony that they've totally recovered and are growing daily, one day at a time, in the Lord.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. I wanted to bring a message on consecration and prayer, but I see that our time is up again. So this has been the last chapter of Mark, and so whatever the Lord gives me for tomorrow, that's what I'll bring. Until then, God bless you. Praise the Lord and keep yourself consecrated. Keep yourself safe. And remember, when you're looking at TV and see all the plagues that are coming down, that it's not Mother Nature and it's not a natural thing. It's supernatural, and God promised it. Praise the Lord. Amen.